Thanks again for tuning in to the Music and Ministry Podcast. As usual, I am your host, Stephen Reed. So glad that you are here and believe that we have a good program today. We're going to talk about some basic principles of arrangement or orchestration. And really, that's the part of just putting it all together to make what you want to sound good. And over the past few years, one of the things that we have really learned a lot about is how to do that, certainly from a recording standpoint, which has some unique characteristics that you would do there that you would maybe do in a live setting. And I look back this week and was listening to a project that I had made back when we were youth pastors at our church in Colorado, and it was shocking to me what I was doing, and it just really took me back and was remembering how I thought and why I thought that way. And so the hope is today that I can help you get a little further forward and not have to live with some of the mistakes or just things that keep you from getting sounding as good as you would like to. And really the first thing, which is maybe a more obvious thing or maybe not obvious, is just to say you need to spend some time to learn how to arrange, because most churches just let everybody kind of do whatever they think is best and then hope that the sound person can sort it all out. And while that is an approach, it has a lot of problems. The first being that you have to heavily rely upon a sound person, and then there are limitations as what a sound person can do, and they end up turning people off and often creates a lot of tension. So the best way is to figure out what you're going to play and have some sort of direction. And that direction usually comes from some sort of a director. And so one term that is really popular here in Nashville and really on a lot of music groups, even the top professional ones, is they have a music director, what some people call, for short, an MD. And this person isn't necessarily the worship leader. Usually it's not the worship leader. And really their job is to provide direction for how things are going to go musically. And so there's lots of possibilities of what can be played. They just help define what it is that we're going to play. And so that it comes down to decisions in, hey, you play here on the first part and then you play here on the second part, or we want it to sound like this time, or we have these group of musicians, so today we're going to change it and it's going to be more of an acoustic guitar song, whereas before it was a piano song. Somebody has to make those decisions, and that's that person. And it doesn't have to be a separate person. It can just be the worship leader, but it's a great way to help move things forward, provide some leadership, because otherwise it's going to be kind of chaotic. And it can also be a great spot for the technical team, the sound person, to have a point of contact to say to one person, hey, I'm having some problems with how it's sounding, rather than the sound person having to interact with each individual person. And then sometimes those temperaments or whatever, or they didn't say it the right way, can create conflict and even problems, or just result in the sound person shutting them off and they don't even know. So an MD is a great place to start. So if that's you or somebody else, you definitely want to think about it. But within that, then you have to start thinking, okay, how are we going to arrange our group? And a lot of churches are in this interesting dilemma, which is we want to have a lot of people involved, partly because we want to disciple people and we want to give people an area where they can kind of feel ownership. But then also, we want energy. We want it to look full and seem like there's a lot of life. Some people are very interested in representing their congregation across their worship team. But then you run smack dab into this problem of the more people that you have involved, the harder it is for it to sound good. And you would think, oh, well, let's just throw more people up there and they'll know what to do and it'll be great. We'll have this full sound. Well, the problem is that most churches are struggling because they actually have too much sound. And I know that sounds crazy. And you may be in a church somewhere in the middle of nowhere, have three people on your team, and you might still be struggling because you have too much sound. So I know it's a mind-blowing, mind-expansive kind of moment, but just trust me. Most churches are dealing with too much sound. And so really one of the big things about orchestration and arranging is that you have to get out of the mindset that we need to add something and rather get into the mindset that says, hey, what if we subtracted something? And so what we're talking about today is addition through subtraction. And part of that is because when people play, they're all playing the same thing, and they tend to kind of fill up the middle. And so A guitar player would play a standard G chord. Those are the exact same notes that a piano would play if they're playing in a standard place on a worship piano. It's also the area that the singers are singing. And so we have this battle in the middle ground where if we simplified, we would then have more space. And sound people would say, well, I'm looking for clarity. And that's really what it is there's so much going on that you're trying to make any definition of who's who and what's what. And a lot of times from the audience, you're just looking up there and everybody kind of looks like they're air banding it. And some of them actually are, because again, the sound people may have turned them off. So especially in recorded music, especially in modern music, the idea is to simplify and then turn whatever it is that you're doing up. So rather having the battle in the middle ground, you're really then emphasizing each moment. And I could really take you through song after song after song that has been a big hit in popular radio. And if you break down what's happening musically, it's really only two or three things going on at the same time, but they're the right things. And so in your orchestration, if I can tell you and encourage you anything, is don't add more, take away until you find the right thing. Now, the right thing will take you potentially a long time to figure out, and then you'll get better at it. But you won't even get on that journey until you stop just adding, because then those simple things don't even sound good in the whole mess of what's all going on. So again, I'll say it, great music is made by doing simple things really well. And really, that's the secret of recording and figuring out how to make music is what's the right part? Because I could play this and we could play that and we could add all of these things, but how do we make it the best? What's amazing about those simple parts is that they're often easy. Now, easy to play, but somewhat difficult to figure out. So I don't know where you are in the whole spectrum of everything that I just said, in the sense of how many people do you want on stage? Why do you want to have them on stage? You know, those are answers that you need to have for yourself. And there's some churches we go to where they want to have a lot of people on stage, and that's just how it's going to be. Well, that just provides a great opportunity to learn a whole lot about arranging for large groups of people. And that really takes you in a direction of, hey, we got to figure out how do I get you to play just a simple part, not play that much, but yet it all work together. Well, it takes more work, but it can be totally worth it. Or if you just have a small group, that's good news that, hey, we can have a fuller sound if we just did things a little different. You don't have to necessarily add that many people. Because if you think about it, how many people are in a regular band? Well, most of the time it's 3 or 4 or 5, but once you get over 5, it starts to get kind of crowded sonically, especially in a live scenario where so much of the sound is dominated by the drums and by the bass guitar. Now, that's how it's done in the professional world. I know a lot of churches don't really like to crank the low end up that much, which provides a different opportunity. But again, those are things that you have to factor in when you're thinking about orchestration, is if I try to orchestrate this like the CD, well, in a live scenario, you've got a lot of things working against you that you can't replicate the CD. And many of the things that you would be working hard for can't even be heard if you're going to do it like they do live. And that's maybe too much to go into in this episode, but I just want to encourage you that spending time learning how to arrange, and it doesn't have to be everybody, it can be that one person, that MD, who then works with everybody to say, hey, this is what we're going to play, we're going to do it this way this time and see how it goes. And then the people that have that ability may join a team where they're in that music director ship role, or become some sort of a team where they're working together to figure out the best solution, because not everybody has those skills. Some people just need to be told, hey, play this, it'll sound good. And they're looking for somebody to say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, so I just kind of do this and hope that it works out. So stuff to think about, and would super encourage you to spend some time there, because it really can make a huge difference in the sound that you have, and you don't have to buy anything. You just get better at the source, which is choosing to play the right things at the right time. All right, well, I know that was a lot, but if you have any questions about that or need any further help, please give us a shout out at musicandministryconference@gmail.com, or you can visit our website at musicandministry.co, because we have some articles and some other podcasts about this subject. And hope that you have a fantastic week. Well, until the next time, God bless.